Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
It was that same yearning for freedom that nearly 250 years ago gave birth to a special place called America. It was a small cluster of colonies caught between a great ocean and a vast wilderness. It was home to an incredible people with a revolutionary idea that they could rule themselves, that they could chart their own destiny, and that together they could light up the entire world.
Hello, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to our program, Praying for America. Well, the Lord has a strong word for us through the prophet Jeremiah about how we shape the destiny of the nation. And last night, we reflected on the victories of the elections of 2021. Not unpredictable, not really surprising. Maybe surprising to the Democrats, but the pendulum of American politics swings, as we reflected yesterday. And now we build on the momentum. In fact, we don't even wait until 2022 to see further momentum, which we will see in the midterm elections, but we see it now with lawmaking. In other words, the victory that has been experienced now is rightly taken as a sign of the direction that the country is going, as a temperature of the voters. And what that does to lawmakers, especially to the Democrats in Congress who are considering some very, very extreme bills, one of which we'll take a closer look at here today, are going to have to think more carefully about what they're going to face back home when they go there, when they face the voters, when they ask for their vote again, and those voters know that they've been supporting extreme legislation. That's the mechanism in American political life, in American lawmaking, that often saves us from legislation enacted just along party lines with some extreme agenda. The great thing about the whole system is that those lawmakers, they don't only have to face their party and their party leadership, they have to face the voters. And they work for us. They work for the people they represent. They need to be answerable to them. So some don't seem to be aware of that anymore. Some don't seem to care. But the kind of results we had in this week's elections for the Republican Party it bode well for having a chilling effect in Congress on some of this more extreme legislation. So we'll reflect about that a little bit. Let's start with Jeremiah in chapter 18, the story of the potter's vessel. And let's think about this in terms of how our lawmakers shape the direction our nation takes on public policy. Jeremiah 18, starting with verse 1, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Rise up, be off to the potter's house. There I will give you my message. I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at the wheel. Whenever the object of clay which he was making turned out badly in his hand, he tried again, making out of the clay another object of whatever sort he pleased. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Can I not do to you, O house of Israel, as this potter has done? Says the Lord. Indeed, like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Sometimes I threaten to uproot and tear down and destroy a nation or a kingdom. But if that nation which I have threatened turns from its evil, I also repent of the evil which I threaten to do. Sometimes again, I promise to build up and plant a nation or a kingdom. But if that nation does what is evil in my eyes, refusing to obey my voice, then I repent of the good with which I promised to bless it. Okay, so those are the first 10 verses of Jeremiah 18. What a clear lesson. I'm molding the clay. Doesn't turn out the way I expected. I'll start again. I'll change direction. I'll start again. The Lord is molding nations. He has plans in mind for those nations. And this reading tells us the Lord can change his mind, will change his mind, based on the behavior of the nations, based on the behavior of the citizens, based on whether they are embracing good or embracing evil, repenting of their sins or doubling down on their sins. And what that also says is that the nation is not only in the hands of the Lord as the potter, but we are shaping its destiny. If the Lord is listening to us, if he's looking for a signal from us, the citizens of the nation, we are the potter. We are shaping the destiny. This is what he's saying in other words. He does look to us. Usually we think of ourselves as repenting from sin and changing course. Here, God is saying he sometimes repents. Not that God can sin, but he may plan to carry out a certain destiny for a nation. And if that nation turns to him in the right way, God can come back to them with a different plan. So let's pray for America in that sense. Lord, we know that we are represented by our lawmakers, both on the state level and on the federal level. Lord, we know that they work for us. Lord, we know that they are accountable to us, and that not only do we have to elect the right people and take the wrong people out of office, but we need to work with them during the process of lawmaking. We need to work with them by lobbying, by making our views known, by working and thinking through with them the different options, the different possibilities for different pieces of legislation. Lord, enable your citizens to do exactly that. Make us more aware of the kinds of bills our lawmakers are introducing and considering. Make us more confident in our communication with our lawmakers. Make us more diligent in following up with them time after time. Make us persevere. That, Lord, together, you, the potter, we, the clay, and we, the citizens who influence even your plans for the nation, may indeed all work together to bring this nation to the direction of greatness. We pray in the name of the Lord of every nation, the only Savior of humanity, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, one extreme piece of legislation, and I put this in the caveat that things are changing rapidly. And of course, with this election, things I think will change even more rapidly in terms of what these Democrat leaders in Congress are really willing to push for, how this divided Democrat Party is going to work out those divisions. You've got the AOC squad, you've got the progressive wing of the party, and you've got some members who are more moderate, and you've got the others who are clueless, apparently, like Biden himself. And how does this all fit together? We don't know. And people will change their minds, or they'll try to compromise or come up with different solutions. So I'm going to go through a number of things about this massive spending bill, and the amount, you know, varies as well as people try to come to some kind of agreement. But we're talking in the trillions of dollars. It's beyond the imagination to really get a handle on what kind of money we're talking about here. But I just want to zero in on one theme. This is a memo I want to go through with you to help you understand how jaw-dropping it is when we consider exactly what kinds of things are being funded, are being proposed to fund in a spending bill like this. Because if people knew the kind of things that I'm going to review with you here, there wouldn't be a 52% approval rating of a piece of legislation like this. Okay. I'm just going to list some of the things this spending bill does. First of all, from this memo, by the way, this memo came from a very helpful group in Congress, Republican legislators who formed the Republican Study Committee. This is a group that helps to strengthen the argument of conservative Republicans on various things. Republican Study Committee, they're a source of great information for those legislators that make use of it. This bill perpetuates, first of all, a labor shortage. It continues welfare benefits without work requirements for able-bodied adults, without dependents, at a time when there are 10.1 million job openings, more job openings than there are people looking for work. Number two, commissions a climate police. Now, I heard some things that maybe that some are backing away from this, but nevertheless, the point here is look at the mindset of these radical Democrats stuffing into this proposal $8 billion into a commission, a federally funded climate police. This is unbelievable. It's ridiculous. Pushes the Green New Deal in our public schools, requiring funding for school construction to be used largely on enrollment diversity and Green New Deal agenda items. These people should be put in a mental institution. Pushes Green New Deal in our universities. Forces out faith-based childcare providers. The bill blocks the ability of many faith-based providers from participating in the childcare system, and that will lead to many of them closing. Hurts small and in-home daycares because it requires pre-K staff to have a college degree. Includes new incentives for illegal immigration because illegal immigrants would be able to take part or take advantage of the Democrats' new free college entitlement, additional student aid, enhanced child tax credit for illegals. Point number eight, it includes a legislative hull for Biden's vaccine mandate, increasing OSHA penalties on businesses that fail to implement the mandate. Gives unions near total control, binding employers' hands in union disputes, dangerously tilting the balance of power, making unions bigger and more powerful, pushing Democrats' wasteful and confusing school lunch agenda. $643 million for, among other things, quote, procuring culturally appropriate foods. The next item on the topic of what my ministry is all about, furthering radical abortion agendas, not including the Hyde Amendment. Now, the Hyde Amendment remembers a provision in the law that for decades has enjoyed bipartisan support to keep our taxpayer money away from abortion in the Medicaid program, has saved 2.5 million lives. Has enjoyed, as I say, support even from people like President Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. But no, not Biden. No, not the current Democrat Party. They want the Hyde Amendment out of there. They want no protection on our tax money from going to somebody else's abortion. And it would mandate taxpayer funds, therefore, for abortions. Driving up costs on Americans' utility bills. For those of you that are just joining us, these are just some of the things in this multi-trillion dollar spending bill that the Democrats have been debating back and forth, and they can't seem to come to any clear consensus about it. But just to know the dangerous things that are in here, driving up the costs on our utility bills, a punitive methane tax, a tax on natural gas, including dangerous and deadly green energy mandate that would force Americans to get 40% of their energy, 40%, from wind, solar, and other unreliable forms of energy within 8 years. Reliance on these energy sources has proven deadly. Including kickbacks for the left's green energy special interest network, $5 billion for, quote, environmental and climate justice block grants. Climate justice. Again, these people belong in a mental institution. Giving wealthy Americans tax credits, $202 billion in green energy tax credits will be given to those who can afford expensive electric vehicles and other green innovative products. Furthering the Democrats' social justice agenda, equity initiatives throughout the bill. In one instance, Democrats inserted equity language into a title which should have been focusing on the maintenance of our cybersecurity efforts. Another point, amnesty for millions of illegal immigrants. House Democrats have included in their reconciliation bill a plan to grant amnesty to around 8 million illegal immigrants at a cost of around $100 billion over 10 years. Trillions more would be spent long-term on their Social Security and Medicare. Illegal immigrants. Opening the border even wider. Waive many of the grounds for immigration inadmissibility, including infection or lack of vaccination status during the pandemic. Failure to attend removal proceedings in previous immigration cases and the previous renouncement of American citizenship. DHS can also waive previous convictions for human trafficking, narcotics violations, and illegal voting. Just, you know, erase it all. Come on in, folks. Come on in. No questions asked, no requirements. By the way, you know, this is within my own religious community, the Catholic community. You know, we have the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And there's a section in there on immigration. And it says that the immigrant's supposed to respect the laws of the country they want to come into. And the Democrats' bill here is saying, hey, forget about the laws. It doesn't matter. What a signal this sends. Increases the visa limit. At least 226,000 family preference visas would be administered each year. It grants fast-track green cards for those seeking middle-class careers in America. This bill includes pork for Nancy Pelosi. Well, well, well. $200 million earmarked for the Presidio Trust in Speaker Pelosi's congressional district. You know what our reaction to this is? We have had enough of this. Enough of this. This is not why we elect people to Congress. The bill increases energy dependence on OPEC, Russia, and China, prohibiting several mineral and energy withdrawals, overturns provisions included in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that authorized energy production in the Arctic. That will result in 130,000 Americans losing their jobs and a loss of federal revenue to the tune of $440 billion. This is unbelievable. The bill would exacerbate the chip shortage. It will mandate the conversion of the entire federal vehicle fleet from internal combustion engines to electric engines at a time when there is a global microchip shortage and crippled supply chains. The Democrats' feckless China bill is included. Concepts from the insanely weak Endless Frontier Act, including $11 billion in research that will likely result in American intellectual property going to China. Other things, it chases the green energy pipe dreams left-wing research of environmental justice groups. Now, get this one, number 27. The bill fixes racist roads and bridges. Now, we work with Alveda King on our Priest for Life team, and I wonder what her uncle Martin Luther King Jr. Thought about racist bridges and roads. I mean, did he preach about those kind of things? A $4 billion slush fund that would help left-wing grassroots organizations that want to tear down and rebuild infrastructures that are deemed racist. See, now it's this obsession with racism, which blunts our ability to respond to true racism, has now gone not just to people simply because they're white. It's gone to roads. It's gone to rocks, pieces of concrete, steel. It's gone to bridges and roads. Okay. Punishing red states for failing to adopt Green New Deal provisions. Massive bankrupting entitlement. Mandating workers, for example, to get 12 weeks of paid leave, costing over $500 billion over 10 years. Advancing a totalitarian and paternalistic view of the federal government, including grants for organizations to treat individuals suffering from loneliness and social isolation. Detaching individuals further from employment and making them more reliant on government handouts. Tax benefits for the top 1%. Tax credits for wealthy donors who give to woke universities. Expanding the worst parts of Obamacare. The job-killing employer mandate would become more severe under this bill. Increasing taxes on Americans at every level. $2 trillion in tax hikes falling on those who make under $400,000 a year. Contrary to what the White House says, lowering wages for working families. Under President Donald Trump, wages went up in historic ways. Under this bill, they would be lowered. Corporate tax rate would increase by 5.5%, meaning American companies will face one of the highest tax burdens in the world. Two-thirds of this tax hike would fall on lower and middle income taxpayers. A provision here penalizes marriage. Penalizes marriage. Imposes crushing taxes on small businesses. A few final provisions here, again, in this spending bill of the Democrats, this wild and crazy multi-trillion dollar proposal. Crushing family businesses and farms. It would impose a 25% capital gains rate and make alterations to the death tax, including cutting the death tax exemption in half, violating Americans' financial privacy, $80 billion slush fund to hire an army of 87,000 IRS agents to carry out the Biden administration's plan, get this, I'm sure you've heard of this, to review every account above a $600 balance or with more than $600 of transactions in a year, an IRS review of your financial transactions and mine. Increasing, last two things, increasing out-of-pocket costs for those who rely on prescription drugs. President Trump did so much to lower the cost of prescription drugs. This bill would repeal much of what President Trump did. And finally, imports policies from countries with socialized medicine. The bill includes healthcare policies imported from systems in Australia, Canada, France, Germany, Japan, and the United Kingdom that have government-run healthcare systems. We say to those countries, you know what? We don't need it. We don't need it. America first. We don't need your systems. Brothers and sisters, I wanted to go through that litany to make the point that when we debate these various things, we've got to see what these bills include. Whenever you put together these two words, Democrats and spending, a big red flag should rise up in your mind and say, spending on what? And you look inside and you see ridiculous things ridiculous things, things that are just offensive, things that are just destructive. So let's pray. Lord, we ask you to give wisdom to our legislators. Lord, we ask that the results of the 2021 election, which show the strength of the MAGA movement, which show the strength of President Trump, which show the strength of the Republican Party, which show the pendulum of American politics swinging back to sanity, which show the reaction of the American people against the insanity of Democrat policies, would awaken our members of Congress now, Lord God, that they might waver in their support of this ridiculous spending bill. Lord God, that they might repent, simply and purely repent, of the kinds of selfishness, extremism, anti-American, anti-economy provisions of this bill. That they would repent of the pro-abortion provisions of this bill, that this would be blood money, Lord God, not just money spent stupidly, but money spent positively immorally. Lord, we pray that our citizens and we may become more aware of these kinds of provisions, that we might sound the alarm to our fellow citizens, and that we might let our legislators know that we know what is in this bill and that we oppose it and that we expect them to oppose it as well. Give wisdom to our lawmakers. Lord, give pause to the unwise things that they are doing and make your people ever more equipped, ever more able to work in our American system of government to influence these policies. Now let's pull together all our prayers, friends, and offer the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, thanks, friends, for joining me for this analysis. And let's stay connected on social media. Fr. Frank Pavone is my address, as you see on the screen. Follow me there on Parler and Getter, Instagram and Twitter, YouTube. And then on Facebook, it's Father Frank Pavone. And then, of course, Right Side Broadcasting at RSB Network. Spread the word about this program. Thanks for all that you do, and we'll join you again tomorrow.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.